A number of years ago, National Geographic sent Dan Buettner and a team of scientists out to discover why, in certain parts of the world, people lived a century or more. They weren't just old, they were healthy, engaged, and seemingly content. Dan dubbed the seven areas the Blue Zones and documented the whys and hows of these communities in a couple of books. Well, his latest book is about a major leap. In 2009, he and a team of scientists transferred the Blue Zone principles to American towns. The book is called The Blue Zone Solutions, Eating and Living Like the World's Healthiest People. Dan, good to have you back.
I am delighted to be here, Lynn.
You know, for those who maybe five people left in the world who don't know about Blue Zones, could you explain what you're talking about when you say Blue Zone?
So this was a 10-year project with National Geographic that set out to find the pockets in the world where people live demonstrably longer, either the highest rates of centenarian or the highest life expectancy. And we found one in Okinawa, Japan. The longest lived women in the world live in Okinawa, Japan. The longest lived men live in villages in Sardinia, an Italian island. We found one in Ikaria, Greece, where people largely elude dementia. In Costa Rica, the Nicoya Peninsula, people are about 2.5 times more likely to reach a healthy old age. And here in America, it's among the Seventh-day Adventists in Loma Linda, California, who live 10 years longer than the rest of us. And the goal of the project was to, in a sense, reverse engineer longevity, find out what they were doing and learn the lessons that we can apply to our lives.
Now, when you say live longer, there was the qualification, living well as they lived longer.
Yeah, the general rule is the longer you've lived, the healthier you've been. So in these places, they're not only living longer lives, the disabled part at the end of their lives are compressed or shortened. The real secret, though, is none of these spry centenarians said at age 50, well, oh, darn it, I'm going to get on a longevity diet and live another 50 years. Mm-hmm. In every case, longevity happened to them. In other words, it ensued as opposed to being pursued. They lived in environments that nudged them into moving more, eating a little bit less, eating a little bit better, living out their purpose, which is really important. And they tended to have really healthy social networks. So it's not one silver bullet, it's silver buckshot.
Ah, okay. All right. You've done a couple of books on this, but tell me about this latest one.
Well, I came to realize that the runway to health is through our mouths. So we took a really deep dive into the diets of longevity around the world. We worked with the University of Minnesota, and we distilled down 155 dietary surveys in all five Blue Zones. So what were 100-year-olds eating for the past 100 years? And then distilled it into easy guidelines, not only what they were eating, but how they were eating as an effort to introduce Americans to the idea of Blue Zones.
Can you give us a nugget?
First of all, they were eating a very high-carb diet. About 65% of what they were eating were carbohydrates, mostly grains, oatmeal for breakfast, for example. The longest-lived women in the world, Okinawans, ate mostly sweet potatoes. And the cornerstone of every longevity diet in the world is beans. About a cup of beans a day. I would argue that's the best longevity supplement in the world. Ounce for ounce more protein than beef at 1/5 the cost.
That's pretty interesting. Okay, but in this book, you did a series of makeovers of entire towns.
So the central idea of Blue Zones is longevity happens to people. You live in the right environment. So based on that, we start with Albert Lea, Minnesota. And we helped the city change their food policy. We worked with almost all the restaurants, the grocery stores to make eating environments just 10 or 20% healthier. Mm-hmm. And we ended up, after working with them for about a year and a half, lowering their healthcare costs by 40%. And now working with a company called Healthways, we're in 23 cities and the whole state of Iowa doing these Blue Zone makeovers.
Part of the Blue Zones, there were things that naturally evolved from people's cultures. The way they ate, but also a sense of community among them. Close friends for a lifetime, people you saw all the time, and as you said, a sense of purpose. How do you superimpose that on this culture? I mean, we're completely different. We don't have, you know, thousands of years or hundreds of years of those kinds of elements embedded in our entire surroundings and how we live.
So if your three best friends are obese and unhealthy, there's about 150% better chance that you'll be overweight yourself. So what we've been really successful at doing in these cities is cluster people in groups of fives. We take the idea from Okinawa, they're called Moais, and we just have them commit to either walking together or having plant-based potluck dinners together for 10 weeks. And we found in Albert Lea to begin with that about 60% of these moais stay together. So you then set up this sort of permanent social network that supports healthy eating or movement that tends to last, well, to date, 5 or 6 years. And these have been
It's still successful after 5 or 6 years.
With 60% of the people who sign up for it. Social interaction is very important to humans. If you're technically lonely in this country, it shaves about 8 years off your life expectancy. Mm-hmm. So just the mere act of being socially connected with people who care about you is part of that whole longevity formula.
How about the political side of this? When you're talking about changing an environment in an entire town, there has to be cooperation among the leaders.
Yes. First of all, we only come into cities that invite us. And when we come in, we get a pledge from the mayor, the city manager, the head of public health, the superintendent of schools, and the big CEOs, or mm-hmm. we don't come in. And then we do come in with a bundle of food policies that make eating fruits and vegetables cheaper and more accessible and eating junk food harder. We say that right up front. We want a healthier food environment here. But instead of like Bloomberg and coming in saying, you have to limit the size of your sodas to 16 ounces.
Yeah, the mayor of New York.
That's in our bundle. That's in our menu of food policies. But we show them 40 other evidence-based policies that create a healthier food environment. And then they choose what's right for them.
What percentage of a town population gets involved with these Blue Zone projects?
Well, if you're affecting food policy and active transportation policies and tobacco policies, you impact 100% of the We usually get about 50% of the restaurants, about 20% of the large workplaces. We usually get the big grocery chain involved. And then we get somewhere between 15 and 20% of individuals taking a Blue Zone pledge. So it's critical mass. We see drops in obesity by as much as 15% in some of our cities. And our big win in the Los Angeles beach cities, we dropped smoking rate by 30%, which will save tens of millions of dollars.
That's really amazing. Dan, great work. And thanks for joining us.
I am thrilled to be with you, Lynn.
Dan Buettner is author of The Blue Zone Solution, Eating and Living Like the World's Healthiest People. Now, he left us with a recipe for a classic. You can find his spiced lentil recipe at splendidtable.org.